Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Woo-hoo! Happy Taco Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. If you're getting ready for a little fiesta this afternoon, this evening, a little tacos, a little cerveza. It's going to be a good day, guys. I think we've all got it lined up and ready to go.
No, it is going to be a good day. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm not going to eat lunch because I'm going to eat between. I'm going to do the traditional, I guess I would call the Cinco de Mayo is more like a happy hour starting. So, can't do it for lunch. So you do it around 4 o'clock, 4-ish or so.
Yeah.
And then you kind of roll into dinner with it. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm actually not going to cook. I'm going to go pick Vine up just because I don't feel like this is one of those days where I just don't feel like getting in the kitchen.
Are you going with some beers, though? It feels like some cerveza is almost mandatory.
If I drink anything, I'm going to drink some tequila.
Not bad.
At the Mexican restaurants out here, they give you the jars that's with the caps on them, they'll have to fill it up with the margaritas, and you can just bring it home, pour it over ice, and keep it moving.
LZ,
I'm cooking. I got the mahi mahis defrosting. I'm doing mango jalapeno margaritas.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I got fresh mangoes. I can smell them. They're nice and ripe, so it's going to be a nice, sweet drink. We got a margarita-making machine anyway, so frozen margaritas.
It's called a blender.
No, this is an official machine. It's a blender. It's fancy. It's very fancy.
By fancy, it's an extra $40 instead of just the blender.
Machines are a trip. Margarita machines. I did a deal with Jägermeister years ago, and they gave me a Jägermeister machine, and I had like tons and tons of Jäger. I gave it away, obviously, to some of my friends and neighbors because they were having graduation for Christmas. I mean, for college, still the kids. But those machines, man, you get the machines and you just get to going. You wake up with a headache.
I did some watermelon margaritas this weekend, and I started drinking them like around 11. And about around 4, I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to taste another watermelon in my life after
that. Real margarita?
Yeah.
Or the liqueur? What?
I used the Sky watermelon-infused vodka, and I made I chopped up some fresh watermelon. I had some watermelon juice that I'd gotten from the health food store. So it's about as sweet and a watermelon-y as you could possibly get it, and we just drank them all day Sunday.
That's a lot of sugar. Even if it's fruit sugar, that's a lot of sugar.
It was a lot of
sugar. It'll be a good day.
I didn't feel good afterwards, put it that way.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's totally worth it. What are you going to do? Go out and do something else?
Hey, Jorge, Taco Tuesday, I don't have to eat tacos, though, right? I can eat any Mexican dish.
You can eat whatever you want, man.
Okay.
All right, so on Sunday, 6 o'clock, ESPN, ESPN app. The Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8 are going to drop. You can get caught up on 1 through 6 on the ESPN app, ESPN On Demand as well. So we're at the point in the timeline that they've been telling this story where Michael Jordan has won and the Bulls have won their first three championships. And we know what's coming next. We know that the hiatus to go play baseball is coming up. And really, for the last 30 years, we've all kind of been trying to figure out exactly why Michael Jordan made that decision. You saw it towards the end of the last episode where the media was on him for the gambling. The media was really going at him hard for the first time ever. Maybe that's part of it. And then, of course, we all know there are a million conspiracy theories out there as to why Michael Jordan walked away from the NBA after winning 3 championships in a row.
Yeah, I believe that based on a lot of different stuff. Look, first of all, I got to believe him. So whatever he says is that what it is. I can't get into the theories of gambling or his father's death and all. I can't. Whatever that man says, he needed time away and he wanted to pursue baseball because that was his dream and his father. That's what I got to believe. His dream, his father's dream, for him to play baseball to get to the majors. That's what I believe. I can't believe in theories. Michael Jordan did this, and this is why they had a gambling problem, and he did. I can't get caught up in that. I just can't.
Well, listen, there certainly is going to be a narrative that Michael has out there will support, and I'm going to assume the documentary that he's greenlighted is going to support as well.
Sure.
And you can choose to believe what he says in the documentary, but as we pointed out, he also is very clever in leaving out some important detail to the story already. So we don't know if there'll be other factors for real. All we can go on what he says in this one documentary about the baseball scenario. I just know that.
But I don't think a man gonna lie on his daddy. That's just me. Maybe others believe that. I don't believe that Michael Jordan is gonna lie on his father. I just don't believe it.
I don't think we're talking about a lie. I'm just saying that he's gonna have one perspective. And that's a perspective he's going to put out there.
But that's his perspective, because it's not a perspective. That's who he is. That's him. He's saying it.
Yeah, that's his perspective.
How you not going to believe what that man say?
Well, there's a million reasons not to believe him. And there's the biggest reason of all. Look, let me back up a little bit.
I can only take you for your word, Travis.
I get that, and I appreciate that. But there are literally millions of reasons, and I'm talking dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, that if you were involved in something really shady and it came out, it would be a problem. So there is certainly a reason to try to cover up a really dirty story. I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying that there would be a reason to tell that story and make it look a certain way. I'm not saying that happened, but I believe that could be possible. Here's why I don't think it is anything crazy. Here's why I don't think the NBA suspended him. Here's why I don't think that this was a gambling suspension or anything to do with the murder of his father directly connected to anything else. Nobody's good at keeping a secret. No, nobody would be good enough to keep a secret about Michael Jordan being told by the NBA to leave.
That is not
Why
true,
is that
Travis.
Not true? That stuff always comes out, LZ. Always.
Well, one, we've seen examples of other superstar athletes who had issues that we didn't find out until much later because they chose to tell us.
Like who? Give me an example.
Okay. All right. So Andre Agassi told us in his book that he was busted for crystal meth. But the tennis never suspended him. They hid it. So in other words, tennis knew he was on meth and they hid it. And no one knew no one knew this story until Andre Agassi decided to tell us. Why? Because there was much more at stake to protect the superstar than to tell the truth. Now,
LZ,
I'm not saying this is what happened.
There's many athletes that do drugs that you don't never hear about. That ain't nothing. You ain't gave me nothing right there. I asked for something that made sense.
Let me ask you this.
As many athletes that have done drugs and the leagues didn't suspend and went on about their business, as many of those.
There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
You're getting popped for drugs because, like, to Key's point,
exactly.
It does happen, and covering that up. And another thing with the face of your sport involved the murder of his father and a suspension connecting all of those things together. That's not just, hey, this guy got caught with some drugs. Let's pretend we didn't see it and make it go away.
So
it's far larger.
Again, the question wasn't which one is more egregious. The question was, give me an example of some league covering it up because they don't want the news out there. And I gave you an example, and now now you're pushing back because
I want an example, apples to apples, though. I want it even. I don't want no drug conspiracy that he was on crystal meth. He said it in his book. So now all of a sudden the league covered it up because he was a big tennis star. The tennis world wasn't going to live or die based on Andre Agassi. It was other stars playing tennis at that point in time.
I know a little bit about tennis.
I may not know as much as you, but I know a little bit.
There were other stars in the NBA as well, but when you have your most marketable person, you just tend to treat them differently. Now, all I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the real story is. There's certainly going to be a perspective, but this idea that a secret couldn't be kept, we didn't know that Michael Jordan was as close as Kobe Bryant was until this year. So there is quite possible that secrets can be kept depending upon who's entrusted with the secret. Now, that doesn't necessarily
mean that wasn't a secret, though. That ain't a secret.
Oh, Jesus, Key.
That's not
Everyone
a secret.
Sat there and said, we had no idea.
But
they
that's
were
not
that
a
close.
Secret, though. We all knew that Kobe Bryant would reach out to Michael from time to time. We all
knew
that.
We didn't know how close they were. Yeah, no one knew how close they were.
People don't know how you don't know how close a lot of people are, right, but that's not a secret.
Put this aside for a second. Do you guys, and Key, I know that you're going to say that if Michael says it,
you don't know what I'm going to say. That's why you're asking me.
No, you just said it. You just said that if Michael says it, you're going to believe it. LZ, yes. Do you think that Michael Jordan left the NBA to play basketball, or excuse me, to play baseball because it was his father's desire to see him as a baseball player?
No.
Yeah.
I believe that was one of the things on top of the media getting on his damn nerves. I believe that was another. And the fact that I want to rest up so I could come back fresh and reboot this thing all over again. That's what I believe. But if you believe that it was gambling and had something to do with his father's death and all that is why he left, then you believe that side of it. I don't think that a man who loves his parents is going to lie on his father. That's just me. It's pretty egregious and deep for Michael Jordan to sit up and make up a story about why he left baseball and use his father in that. That's just me, though.
I don't believe the reasons that we've been told are the entire reason. That doesn't mean that he's lying on his father.
Right.
I just think there's more to the formula than the two elements that we've been presented. That's all.
There's so much stuff. You know what I mean? If Michael Jordan just left, okay, I get it. If he just decided to go play baseball, okay. If his dad was, tragically murdered and that happened in the middle of his basketball career and he just decided to tap the mat and say, I just can't do this anymore, I get it. It's all of these things together that add up to, I don't know what happened, but the story that I've been told just doesn't – all the pieces don't fit with that story.
But what story have you been told, though, Trav?
That he'd had enough of the NBA and his father wanted him to play baseball, so he went to do that.
But that's not – okay. Have you ever heard of a person being wore down and tired and stressed to the point where they, you see it every single day in music, you see it in acting? I'm taking a break. I've been doing this for 50 years. I'm tired. I just want to do something different.
Yes.
That's why guys retire and unretire.
Yes.
Because it wore out.
But what rarely happens is a guy at that level, at that age, to leave when there was – because, look, he came back and won three more.
But it's
this
okay.
This wasn't a guy at the end
but it's
of the
okay
line
to do it that
body.
Way. But it's okay to do it that way if you can do it that way. You don't have to run six in a row. You could take a break. You know what I mean? I'm going to take a break and just chill because I'm so good and I feel so good about myself and who I am and believe in myself. Guess what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to wax their ass again for three. It's okay to have that confidence. You know who we're talking about here. We're not talking about a human being. We're talking about some alien dude from outer space. This dude is different. You watch the documentaries. He's different. He did things that no one else could do.
And he also does things that is quite human, which is, not tell everything or sometimes make sure that stories are being told where you look in the best possible light. And
keep saying that about this documentary is because he has controlling rights that he is simply saying that he's hiding things, that he's not telling stories because they didn't share that James Worthy got hurt. I don't care that James Worthy got hurt. I care that he won. And it started the winning for him. That's the story. James Worthy got hurt.
How many more could he have won is another topic. But there's lots more here. Let's come back. Let's continue this conversation about what episodes 7
Travis.
And 8 might have in it. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, so we're talking about The Last Dance. We're talking about what we may see come up in episodes 7 and 8. We're getting closer to the end of the line, unfortunately. Episodes 7 and 8 on Sunday evening, 6 o'clock ESPN, the ESPN app. You can get caught up on 1 through 6 on the app and ESPN On Demand as well. Let's take a step aside from the explanation that we might get that's coming up. Because, look, I mean, let's be honest, and I don't want to relitigate the entire Isaiah Thomas thing all over again, but that Michael has refused to take ownership of that leads you to believe that if he's holding on to something bigger than he didn't want Isaiah on the team, he's never going to tell us. That well, it's not going to come from him.
He did take ownership. He said he had nothing to do with it.
Right. Okay. Like everybody, I said,
they all say he didn't have nothing. He didn't have anything directly.
Magic said that too yesterday.
But they all had nothing to do with it directly, though. Travis.
No, no one had anything to do with anything, Travis. It
right.
just magically just happened.
He didn't. So LZ.
Yes,
if I said I don't. If I said nothing, right, and then all of a sudden they decided to get rid of Raj, does that mean that I had something to do with it, or you had something to do with it, or Travis had something to do with it? Or all of a sudden they decided that they're going to move our show from 6 a.m. in the morning to 3 a.m. in the morning? Does that mean I had something to do with it, or you had something to do with it?
All right, here's the deal. If you've been saying how much you prefer having a show early in the morning versus the time that is set, and people know that's how you feel, you're going to look as if you were involved.
But but Michael Jordan never said
prior, I hate Isaiah Thomas.
Prior to all of that, he never said that. He never said
okay.
I hate Isaiah Thomas.
I think we're spinning in circles here.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go.
Well, I just don't want you to pin. I just don't want you to pin something on somebody. Like a dirty cop for no reason at all.
There's a million reasons. That's the whole point. There's not no reason at all. There's a lot of reasons.
Well, you're his partner, a dirty cop, too.
Yeah, I'm looking the other way.
It's just really weird that you can watch the documentary and you can literally see the moments in which MJ feels comfortable taking a stand and moments in which he doesn't feel as comfortable taking a stand. And that's human nature.
Yeah,
all I'm doing is just looking at it and saying, okay, this is where he chose not to say something. This is where he chose to say something.
What are we looking at if Michael Jordan decides that he's not going to go play baseball and decides to spend that gap, those couple of years where he was playing baseball, and we go into him? Are we talking 7 championships, 8? Are we talking 9 in a row? Because we know he's got 3 here. We know he's got 3 on the back end. Is that gap working for him or against him? Because the 0 is what makes Michael Michael. It's the 6-0. 6 is incredibly impressive, but the 0 is more impressive. What are we talking about if he plays those years?
I think you're still talking about a couple more championships. Maybe you don't run 6 consecutive. Maybe there's a break somewhere where you lose 1 or 2. Maybe all of a sudden Houston gets hot and Houston takes you out. And then you come back because you got Tracy McGrady or something like that. Now you run 2 or 3 instead of being 6-0. You are 5-3 or something along those lines.
I mean, a lot of it has to depend on how you
but
view
he's still
the number
MJ.
3 guy. Like, I don't know how you view the number 3 guy. For the first 3, the number 3 guy was Horace Grant, who left when Michael was gone, you know, for financial reasons. But Dennis Rodman wasn't available then either. So those 2 years, you know, there's no Robin, there's no Horace Grant. You got to figure out what that is. So with that being said, there's also the fact that the team that won the 2 championships in that time period, the Houston Rockets, were also the team that gave them the most trouble during the first 3 run. They played 6 games during the first 3-peat, and in those 6 games, the Houston Rockets won 5. And Michael Jordan is on record repeatedly talking about how difficult it would have been to try to manage Olajuwon, who, for all intents and purposes, was the best player in the league during that 2-year gap.
So
we don't know what the third person would have been, and we also don't know what that would have looked like with the Houston Rockets when they were rolling and very confident and regularly beating the Bulls when the Bulls were in their prime.
None of that really matters to me, though. You know why? Because he was impressive when he came back, okay?
He wore
45, and he said, nah, this ain't going to work, man. I'm getting back in my 2-3. He was impressive when he came back. He didn't miss a beat, right? I mean, that's more impressive to me that you can take 2 years off from a sport and come back and not miss a beat and win 3 in a row.
I want to go back to something you said a second ago, where you said regardless of what happens in that 2-year window, he's still MJ, right?
He's still MJ.
Is he? Absolutely. He's still one of the greats of all time. He's still one of those guys that is going to be on the Mount Rushmore. But Key, the zero. It's the zero, right?
No, it's only the zero. It's only the zero because the comparisons to a LeBron James or to a Kobe Bryant.
No.
That's the only reason why, if he won three and lost one, and he won four, because of everything else, the shoes, the magical shoes, the Spike Lees, all of the sort of things, he was still going to be MJ on Mount Rushmore.
He would be on Mount Rushmore, but Kareem has six. We don't talk about Kareem like that. Magic Johnson has, what is Magic in the finals? Five and three, or five and eight? No, we talk about Magic like that.
We talk about Magic like that.
Not the way we talk about Michael. Michael is different, and it's because of the zero.
No, we talk about Magic like that, but because there's a lot of mystique and mysterious things with Jordan not opening up, not really knowing. It's the tennis shoes. It's the commercials. It's the movies. It's the larger than life. It's the I own the team. It's all of those sort of things that you put in to a mixed bowl and mix up. Magic, you talk about in greatness and personality and who he is and after basketball, that's that. But you still are having that conversation as Magic is the best point guard to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. Where Jordan is the best player to ever play the game.
Because he was perfect. Because Magic's 5-4 in the finals, right?
I understand, but Magic's
that's Magic nine Johnson, trips to the finals. To
but
six.
Magic Johnson's mystique, his is not Jordan. We know about Magic. That is intriguing to want to know about somebody to try to.
I'm not talking about.
But you can't.
The mystique and the shoes. I'm talking about just what got done on the court. And I think what makes Michael
Michael. But also that conversation, though, Travis, comes with a LeBron James. This 6-0. He never lost. Didn't really start coming up till people start trying to put LeBron ahead of him. And once that happened, it got into, well, damn, he been there nine times. He only won three. Jordan ain't never lost. That's when those conversations started coming up because the comparisons started to come up.
Well, I will simply say that, you know, it's hard to separate Jordan the player from Jordan the brand, the cultural phenomenon. It's just hard. I'm pretty sure if the media was the same way back in 1980, Magic Johnson may have been Jordan. You know, you can't underestimate the power of the media rallying around someone when the media was transforming the way that it was at that particular time as well. So there's so much more that goes into building a superstar. It kind of reminds me of like Michael Jackson was always Michael Jackson. But he greatly benefited from the invention of MTV. That shot him up. And just like with Jordan, Jordan's always Jordan, but he greatly benefited from the way that the media shot him up as well.
Absolutely. When the media puts you up on a pedestal, everything is clean, man. It just kicks you up another notch. Like we talked about, we had a conversation yesterday about me being on that list.
Number nine
on the list of New York's whatever decade it was or whatever.
90s.
But the player, but also everything else that came with it kicked us up on that list. And that's the way it's been under Jordan. Jordan is Jordan. He's MJ. But like LZ said, you cannot talk about him without talking about everything. Man, people were saving money to buy $130 shoes. I rode the bus, RTD, down Wilshire Boulevard to get off on Westwood Boulevard to go to the Nike store to buy brand Jordans when the Nike store was in Westwood.
All right. Peyton Manning is reportedly kicking the tires on some NFL teams and seeing what they're doing in the front office. What would Key look for in his perfect NFL executive life? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Before we get to the possibilities of running an NFL team for former players, it's funny. I'm looking at the scroll on the bottom of the screen here, and they're doing some quotes from people that were players for Don Shula or friends with Don Shula. And one of the things that came by was the 17-0 season in 1972. You guys think we're ever going to see it again? I know that the Patriots got really close a few years ago and just barely lost at the end of the Super Bowl there. Do you think we're going to see somebody run the table in the NFL ever again?
I think he will. I just don't know when it's going to be. But I think we will, because every year it gets – not every year, but some, you know, every now and then it gets really close, 15-1, 14-2. And then what happens is you're going to get a coach that says we're going to make a run at it. And you're going to get some players that say, yeah. Because a lot of times, you look at the Denver Broncos, what did they go that year? They went 15-1 and they lost to the Giants. It was almost like they was trying. They just didn't do it. The New England, when they got close, they said, yeah. But an organization like the Indianapolis Colts was on the verge of doing it, but you got to think about who the coach was.
They backed off. They were 13-0.
That's what I'm saying. You got to think about who the coach is, though. Yeah. Tony Dungy wasn't going to do that. That's just not TD. TD, like, not? Because that's just not him.
Think about it, Keith. Because you look at it right now. We're talking about Don Shula, who died yesterday at 90 years old. And one of the first things we talk about is he was the head coach of the only undefeated season in NFL history. Why wouldn't you want to take a shot at it?
Because it's just not – it wasn't TD's personality. Coach Dungy, when I was with Dungy, I had the streak of Iron Man or whatever you want to call it, rolling. No, never missed a game, the longest streak, this, that, and the other. He deactivated because we clinched the playoffs, and he just was like, eh, why don't you just take a break? I'm like, no, I want to keep my streak alive. But it's, do I keep the streak alive being selfish, or do I just say forget it and be deactivated? But – mm-hmm. Dungy deactivated me for the game, which therefore cut off my consecutive starting streak. So it's like, that's just him. That wasn't important to him. Numbers aren't important to him. Winning undefeated season isn't important to him. Winning the Super Bowl is important. But that's, like I said, you're going to get some coaches. Now, if the Raiders get to a point where they 13-0, oh, they're getting ready to try to do it. Because Gruden, that's important to him. Bill Parcells, it wouldn't be important to Bill Parcells. He's like, eh, okay, we made the – all we want to do is get in the dance. However we get in the dance, we get in the dance.
But like you said, even you get towards – you know, once you get into double digits, 10-0, 12-0, 13-0, the pressure starts to build. But we don't even see a bunch of teams get into the tens without a loss. And I don't think anybody understands or maybe not understands but appreciates – how narrow the difference is between a great team and a bad team. Who's the worst? Cincinnati sucked last year, right? Miami sucked
close,
last year.
But they
year.
Close. They close to the 49ers, though.
Exactly. It's a handful of plays in a game. It's five plays in a game that split this thing one way or the other. And if a bad team has a good day, they can beat a really good team. And if a good team has a bad day, you can lose to anybody.
See, like me, if I was coaching, not even necessarily coaching, but controlling the front office of a team, and we got to a 13-0 mark, I'm trying to go undefeated to 16-0. I'm certainly telling the head coach we need to go 16-0. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to run into – everybody's not going to be there with it. There's going to be some, and then there's going to be others that say no. Old school dudes, eh, I want to do that. Somebody might get hurt. You know, all of that sort of stuff. You get the young guns, they like, oh, yeah, let's roll. You know, like a Ron Rivera, he might try to push it to 16-0 because Daniel Snyder's going to want to go 16-0. The owners don't want to do that.
Let's go to the idea of you running a team. There's a story in Bleacher Report about Peyton Manning going around, checking out other teams, and there's been rumors about him being offered executive jobs. If you are in that position, Key, and you're trying to figure out, okay, people want me. People want me to run this team. I'm looking for the best scenario. And you mentioned it earlier, the geography would be a part of that. Take that out because that's the one piece you can't really change. But what are you looking for? Are you looking for the right owner? Are you looking for the right roster? Take me through it.
Well, you want to start off by studying the roster to start with. You want to see what you have to work with. And can you turn the team around and how fast you can turn the team around? And that's the twos. It's like, do I have a quarterback, left tackle? Do I have a running back? Do I have a receiver? Do I have a shutdown corner? Do I have somebody to go get the quarterback? What is it that I have? What type of energy? What is it? I need to study what that is that I'm getting ready to dive into. Then from there, you got to get you a lieutenant. I need me a Rick Smith right next to me. I need me a guy who knows the deal, who understands ball. LZ.
Yes, sir.
What's the gentleman? It threw me off with John, the executive that's with John Lynch there. Mike Mayhew. Mike Mayhew is with John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of people don't know that, though. So when John Lynch hired Mayhew, when he took that job in San Francisco, he originally wasn't going to hire him. He got convinced by a number of people that you need to hire that dude before you start going out and hiring your buddies. That's the guy you need to hire. And then John got it right. So you got to hire somebody that's been in it, done it, knows what they're doing. Then you need to, from there, you need to figure out the head coach and the rest of the organization. The rest of the organization, what is the scouting department? Do you need to reshuffle that? Do you need to start at the front door? What's the strength and conditioning coach like? What is the training staff like? And then from there, you start to bring in your own people. You need to bring in your own people, your trust guys, the people you
can
trust.
Where does the owner fall in on this, Key? That's the one guy you haven't mentioned. And it
well,
just
the conversation
seems to me that that's
is already,
important piece.
The conversation has happened with the owner before any of this taking place. And the reason I didn't mention the owner, because it's already a given. If I'm taking a job, I already got everything that I want from the owner.
But what if it's a job like Dan Snyder, who is notoriously involved?
Chances are, if I don't get to control it, when I'm sitting down with Daniel over the fireplace in his big house in Virginia, I'm probably going to ask him questions and demand certain things. And if he's not willing to give that, probably chances are I'm probably not going to take the job.
What if he says, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's your show. You run it however you want, when everything that he has done in the past is indicating that's not going to be true?
Well, if he's telling me it's different now, then I have to believe that, right? I can't – like, he's not going to sign a piece of paper saying – everything I said in the past is a lie. This is going
right.
forward. I mean,
right.
I have to trust that he says this is what's in my contract, is that I control all personnel decisions, all this decisions. That'll be spelled out nice and tight in my contract. And if he gets in the way at some point,
you're
decide
gone.
To say, you know what? I mean, that's just what happens. That's what happens.
Yeah, That would be the first place I would go. I mean,
well,
the roster.
You're going there with the owner anyway because he's hiring you. So that conversation that conversation for somebody like myself or somebody like Peyton Manning or somebody that got some stuff with them, they going to tell the owner, I got to have total control, man.
Oh,
if I don't have total control, I can't work with you.
And I'm sure they're going to tell you.
Because I'm not looking for a job.
Hear. But their track record is going to speak much louder than whatever they say in front of the big fireplace.
I have to trust what he says and what's in my contract, right? I mean, I have to trust that because at the end of the day, if there's friction between me and the owner, he's going to fire me, and I'm going to get my $50 million that I signed for.
Now we're talking.
Right? I mean, that's just.
Who's got the biggest check, right?
You're going to write the check. So you're going to fire me, and I'm going to get my $50 million at the end of the day. Or I'm going to win some games, and you're still going to get in the way, and it's going to get out there because LZ is going to leak it. And then I'm going to get hired
yeah,
by somebody else because I'm going to step down, and I got another job lined up next year anyway. So I'm going to bow out.
Cam Newton is still available, and the Rams do not have a backup quarterback. Is that a match that we're going to see? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Just walked into the kitchen, guys, made sure I have all my stuff ready to go so I can start my Cinco de Mayo prep after we go off the air here in just a little bit. Ready,
cheese, no
ready
cheese.
For that?
Cheese or no
I'm
cheese
not,
on your tacos?
I'm a no cheese guy.
Oh, queso okay. fresco, man. Come on.
Nah, I don't want it on mine either.
Yeah,
I don't want to
no. Onion, cilantro, lime, a little salsa.
Yeah, I'm an onion, cilantro, lime, and a little maybe depending on how hot the salsa is, drop a little bit in on that. That's about it. I'm not, Yeah, I'm not going to Taco Bell.
Better than Marcellus with his ketchup that I figured out a few years ago. When he told me that, I thought he was pulling my leg. I can't believe that anybody puts ketchup on their tacos.
He does so proudly.
Well, a few I know a few people that do that. I know a few people that put ketchup instead of the taco sauce. They put ketchup.
No,
that's not good. When you guys when did you guys get your driver's license, LZ? When was the first year you got your license?
I think I might have been
old.
I might have been 18 or 19.
Damn, that long?
I got mine right after my 16th birthday, like a week or two after my 16th birthday.
Of course, you had a permit at 15. Your mom bought you a car at 14.
I didn't get a car, but hand I did have a driver's license.
Yeah, we understand that, right, Jorge? Yeah,
hand me down, no license. Yeah,
they passed the 300E Mercedes Benz down to him. We get
first
it.
First of
we
all,
understand.
First of all, it was a BMW 320i, not a Mercedes.
Okay, oh.
Man, I had an Accord, man. 96 Accord, man.
Yeah. Well, in Utah, a five-year-old decided that he was going to drive. 5 years old now. 5 year old in Utah was pulled over and not cited quite. He didn't get a ticket, but he was pulled over by the Utah Highway Patrol yesterday because he decided to take the car and drive off because he was upset. He was driving to California not only to visit his sister but also purchase a Lamborghini. He wanted his parents to buy him a Lamborghini at 5 years old. This true story. If you think I'm lying, pull it up on the internet. Just Google, 5 year old Utah drives to California for Lamborghini. It'll pop up. That he decided to drive to California with $3 in his pocket. By the way, $3. Now I don't know how far he was gonna get.
Was it a full tank of gas?
With a full tank of gas. No, dude, trip. 5 years old. Was driving on Interstate 15 going in the right damn direction. So the officer said that he was weaving in and out of kind of like lane, just looked like an impaired driver, like something was wrong. And so while he was getting ready to citation somebody else, he noticed that vehicle. So he got behind and turned on his lights and everything. And the 5-year-old kid stopped and pulled over. Like pulled to the shoulder of the freeway. He pulled to the shoulder of the freeway. I saw the video and everything. It was unbelievable. And he's 5 years old, man. He said when he first rolled up on him, he thought he might have been 8, 10. And he told him, no, he's 5. He didn't believe him until the parents came and picked him up. And the parents said, yeah, he's 5 years old. That's incredible, man.
That's you know the what most I'd accomplished 5-year-old they, ever.
You know what I do? Man, I will beat my kids if they did that. I'm going to jail.
I couldn't even pronounce Lamborghini when I was 5, let alone have a design to say I was going to go out and buy one. That's just incredible.
And the craziest thing about it, he was coming to Cali to buy it. He wasn't going to Utah. He wasn't going to drive up to Denver or Nebraska or see if he can get to Wyoming. He was going to California where he knew he can get one in Cali.
Yeah, it had to be tight. He had to make sure it was right.
I'm looking at the video right now, and it looks like it's some sort of small SUV or a minivan or something that the kid was driving. How at 5 years old, how can you physically drive a car? How do you reach the pedals and see over the dashboard?
He was sitting at the edge of the seat, and they couldn't really tell based on the headrest of the seat, how tall he was or whatever. They just know a car was – he figured it was somebody that had a medical condition or whatnot. But he was on the edge of the seat so he can reach the brakes and the pedal and stuff. He pushed it all the way forward and as close as he can get. He was rolling.
He was rolling,
doing about 40 miles an hour, too.
He pulled it over to the left-hand shoulder, too.
Yes.
It's not like he was over on the side of the...
No.
He's in the median.
Yes.
That nobody died in this is a miracle.
Yeah, well, the police officer said that there were people watching, and they were just, like, slowing down and letting the guy, let the kid drive away that he needed to because they figured it was dangerous. The guy was weaving in and out of lanes, which was bizarre. It's funny, but it's not funny, but it's funny, right?
It's funny.
I mean, the parents were not there. They were away at work or something, and the babysitter,
Somebody's getting something, right? I mean, you can't have a five-year-old driving on the freeway without somebody paying some sort of penalty.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get a little fine. I'm just glad that he didn't get hurt, and I'm glad nobody else got hurt, but it was funny. That was hilarious.
Absolutely. You know, guys, I know that we're tired of looking at old classic games and stuff at this point. But one of the reasons why I enjoy watching it is because it reminds you of those dudes you forgot about. Like, I'm watching right now on NBA TV, Phoenix versus Houston, and Sam Cassell is just putting in work. This brother is putting in this work. And I'm just sitting here like going, we don't even talk about Sam like that, but he was so damn nice.
But see, Sam, I didn't forget about it. If you'd have told me Mario Elie, then I would have said, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. You know, right? I mean, but Sam, I don't, because I see him. He's with the Clippers, so I kind of see him, and I remember him with the Timberwolves, and I also remember him in Houston. Remember him at Florida State. So it's kind of like, for him, I'm like, eh.
You need those guys, though, man. If you're going to be a championship team, you're going to need a Jordan and a Pippen and a Rodman. You need your stars. You're going to need LeBron and Anthony Davis. But you're going to need – and I'm not saying that these guys are equal, but you're going to need a Sam Cassell. You're going to need
a
Derek Fisher or an Alex Caruso or somebody who is not the star but who does important things over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Everybody can't be a star. I mean, somebody got to be role players. That's why their coach is always personnel. Know what you got. Know who you're dealing with in certain situations. I mean, it's just what it is. And you're right, though, LZ. Every now and then you see guys, you're like, damn, I don't remember him being on that team.
I remember
how good he was.
I remember Sam, but your latter part, how good he was. He was so cold. So good.
Like, back, if you go all the way back in the Laker days, Travis would probably know. You may know it too, LZ. Mike McGee.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, his little bit of role that he was playing, point-a-minute guy. Every time he'd get a point-a-minute. Mike McGee.
There was another guy, too, and I know the last name because I always used to get him confused with R. Michael Thompson. The Lakers had another Thompson that was a part of those championship runs for a couple of years that played really important. Was it Billy Thompson? There was another Thompson involved, Key.
I don't remember.
This is going to bother me. Riggs. I got to go to the Google machine and figure that one out. Cam Newton coming to L.A. for the Rams? Is that even a possibility? That's next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.